The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
Jesus said, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so. And no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Children between the ages of 3 and 10 are welcome to go with Katie right now for a story time and join us again during the piece.
Through the written word and the spoken word, God help us to hear your living word, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The latest prediction for the day of the rapture was this past Tuesday. As you can see, the rapture did not happen this week, or else all of us have been left behind. What is the rapture and why are we talking about it? The rapture is an event in which Jesus will come and gather up all of the true believers, living and dead, leaving behind the unbelievers to experience years of tribulation and eventually great judgment. Or at least that is what some Christians believe. The idea of the rapture is a pretty recent one, fathered by John Nelson Darby in the 1830s, so recent in the 2,000-year span of Christian history. It was popularized in the Scofield Reference Bible. The rapture, which spares some Christians from years of tribulation, does not have grounding in ancient Christian theology, and I would argue is not firmly grounded in the Bible either. The concept of the rapture and the theologies that surround it have caused great consternation for many Christians. Young children are taught about the rapture and may become deeply afraid that they are not true believers, that they will be left behind with no one to care for them, or that the rapture will rob them of their childhoods. These fears continue into adulthood. Predictions of the rapture often come in times of fear, lack of control, and heightened worry. See Y2K. The computers were all going to break, causing mass chaos and confusion, and thus the rapture. It makes sense that in a time when we are seeing a deeply hurting and divided world, that it would be a moment for yet another prediction of the rapture. Which brings us to this week. While I do not believe in the rapture, the prediction invited me into some thought experiments this week. If one genuinely believes in the rapture, and believes they know the date with some degree of certainty, what do you eat for dinner the night before? When do you make your last trip to the grocery store? When is your last Amazon order? When do you stop worrying about savings? Do you give that money away instead? How do you live out a life of faith that is worthy of leaving the rest of the world behind? I also wonder how a person contends with the surprise of a predicted rapture not happening. What do you do the next day? Is there some grief or relief? Anger? Confusion? Holding these ideas in mind, let us turn to our gospel text for the day. The rich man and Lazarus. After years of ignoring Lazarus at his gate, the rich man is shocked when Lazarus is laying on Abraham's bosom while he experiences agony. Their roles are reversed, as things often are in God's commonwealth. The rich man is likely quite surprised by his plight. In his shock, he begs for mercy. And then he wants to warn those he loved, who likely are living similarly lavish lifestyles. Implicitly, the rich man suggests, "Had I known better, I might have done better." I feel assured, vindicated, and also convicted in Abraham's matter-of-fact response. They already have the law and the prophets. They should listen to them. They already have the instructions they need for a godly life. We, likewise, already have the instructions we need. We also have a Savior who rose from the dead, should we need additional encouragement. While I do not believe in eternal punishment, and I trust that Jesus has saved and redeemed us, I also don't think that the threat of hell or of the rapture ought to be what gets us to live faithfully. We have the law, the prophets, the stories of Jesus, our own experience of God, and life here in Christian community that tells us everything we need to live a good life. And we can see the harmful consequences of our actions and inactions while we are still on earth. We can see the fruit of living God's love here on earth too. It is not only after death that we can see the stratification, inequities, and burdens of our world. My friend and fellow Episcopal priest, Reverend Lizzie McMinnisdale, was interviewed by Teen Vogue this week after she shared a viral response to rapture predictions and theologies. That's right, Teen Vogue was talking about the rapture this week. Reverend Lizzie says this, "What I hope the invitation that we experience in the rapture not coming this week is that we pay attention to the possibilities and opportunities God is giving us, not to escape from the world's pain, but to see how Jesus is present in the world's pain. And I also hope that it causes us to perhaps ask some questions of what does God's justice look like when the world is hurting? And what is our role in seeking that justice and mercy for all of God's people? End quote. If the rapture is a short-term escape from the pain of the world, then the alternative is believing that what we have is worth saving. It is believing that the communities, relationships, and yes, even our institutions are worth investing in or reforming. The invitation we have, both in our gospel reading and in the rapture not happening, is to see the world through Jesus' eyes and to bring heaven down to earth. Abraham tells the rich man, and in turn Jesus tells us, to listen to the words of Moses and the prophets. The prophet Micah says, "What does God require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" The prophet Isaiah says similarly, "Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. And also, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called repairers of the breach and restorers of the streets to live in." The prophet Zechariah says, "Render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another." The prophet Amos says, "Let justice roll down like water, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." I won't hold you here all day quoting the prophets, though I could. You get the point, though. Our instructions are clear. We can apply these ideas in a great many areas of social justice, community care, and institutional reform. Honoring our final Sunday in season of creation, I'll say a few words about how we are invited to care for God's creation, lest we end up surprised by the agonizing heat, just as the rich man was. Earth, our fragile island home, needs us. The Episcopal Church defines its creation care ministries in a trifold or Trinitarian format: loving formation, liberating advocacy, and life-giving conservation. Let us learn about the beauty of the earth and come to know everything that we receive as pure gift. May we tell stories of the small miracles we see in creation every day: flowers that open and close with the sun. These flowers tuck themselves into bed, y'all. Creation is amazing. Let us advocate against environmental racism, fight for environmental protections, assist all people in having access to fresh produce. May we create a world that liberates all people to fully enjoy the glory of God's creation. Each day, let us make small and big choices that resist simple convenience and instead look toward the future. Here at St. Columba's, we use lots of solar power, we compost and recycle, and we seek to make swaps for environmentally friendly options. Perhaps you're already doing these things at home and at work. Maybe there's another small step we can each take. And because we know that the largest environmental impact is corporations, let us also work for a culture of conservation that applies to individuals and businesses alike. May we invest in the people and the places around us, knowing that we have time ahead for us and for future generations, to bring heaven down to earth. Today and in the day when heaven and earth do finally meet, we will walk together and with our loving, liberating, and life-giving God. Amen.